You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
That was on Peter, that he walked down the street, and the Bible said that people laid the sick on the side of the road, that his shadow might just touch them and they'd be made whole. Let me say something. There was no shadow ministry. He never taught shadow ministry. There's not a biblical principle for shadow ministry. It was the anointing of the Spirit of God that was in a normal man. Look at you ushers, can sit down. Let me tell you something. If Jesus did the miracles he did, if he did the miracles he did because he was God, I applaud him. But if he did the miracles because he was a man full of the Spirit of God, then I'm discontent. I want to be that. I was created to be that. If he did it by the power of the Spirit, and your Bible clearly says in Acts 10:38, it was by the anointing of the Holy Spirit from God the Father that Jesus went about doing good, healing all of those affected and punished and oppressed by the devil. He was a man anointed. He wasn't God showing his strength. There is no ministry on shadows. But people got healed in a shadow. Isn't it amazing no one has ever taught shadow ministry? I'm going to tell you something else. There's no hem of his garment ministry. I'll make some of y'all mad right now. Because some of y'all tell me she knew what she was doing because she knew that those that are on the four corners of that prayer cloth, and the prayer cloth is called the wings, and because Malachi said the Son of Man is coming with healing in his wings, that she knew that was the point to touch, and she grabbed hold of the corner, and that's where the little tassel was that had 600 or whatever, 600 little tassels that had all of the law in it, and she touched that, and she didn't know that. And he wasn't wearing a prayer cloth. Come on, folk, read your Bible. She said, I'm sick, and he's anointed. I'm going to die, but he's anointed. And if I could just get close to him, to where I could just touch the hem of Mark chapter 5, touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Here's the good part. You think the healing's good part. Here's the good part. And Jesus said, I felt power leave me. That's where we're not. That's where we're not. We don't know the anointing that's on us. We don't know when it's coming and when it's going. But I'm praying today, and my prayer on your leaving this house today is you'll be so full of the Spirit of God that when you walk by somebody, that the very presence of God brings healing to them. And that you know power left. That you so recognize the glory of the anointing that you can sense it when it leaves you. The Bible says in chapter 6 of Mark, he never taught. Jesus never said, touch him in my garment. Now, come on, folk. That'd have been a good place to preach it right there. If that was healing people, he could have gotten that thing, just swung it around, hit people with it. Just touch him in my garment. I'm going to tell you something. You've got to recognize the anointing. And you got to push through the crowd to get there. And you got to do it when you ain't supposed to. Just like I'm preaching when I'm not on the list to preach right now. But the anointing of God will put us in a position. And here's what I'm asking God for you. Is that you will move from your positional place in Christ to your practical place in Christ. Positionally, everybody in here is saved. Positionally, everybody in here is sanctified. You know you ain't. I'm just saying. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that it is the will of God for you to be sanctified from evil conscience, from sexual sins. Amen? Sanctification. You remember people, you say, I go to a sanctified church. Well, first of all, the church ain't sanctified. Most of the people aren't. But I will say this. The idea is we believe that we ought to be different. That's the idea. Here's what I'm believing. I'm believing for the Spirit of God to be in this house in a special way. That we can recognize when it's here, and we can recognize when the Spirit's moving. We can recognize when it's on us. We can recognize when it's moving to someone else. We need to understand that Jesus never preached the hem of the garment, but in chapter 6 of Mark, the next chapter, it says, and multitudes came again, and listen what it says now, and they touched the hem of his garment that they might be made whole. Jesus never preached it. They did it for the same reason that woman did it. And they heard what she did and said, if that gets me healed, if it's an anointing in him, if it's just a man full of God, then I can touch the hem. I can get to where that anointing is, and it exudes from him. It's on his clothes. And if I can just touch the end of his clothes, it's amazing to me. It's amazing that Peter shouted to heal anybody. It's amazing that people would be there before he got to town having the people laying on the street. The sun's in the east, they're all on the west side. Can I tell you something? You've got a shadow 24/7. You've got a shadow at midnight. Because the Old Testament mentions in every book in the Bible except Esther, Ruth, and Ezra mention fire. Fire in the Bible is always God's. It's never the devil. The devil never does anything but fire. Matter of fact, the devil hates fire. Because he knows he's going there. He hates fire. God says this, Old Testament and New Testament. He says, I am God, and I am a consuming fire. Everything about me is fire. Everything about me is purity. And if you get me in you, you'll have fire in you. Jesus said, I'll get back to this other thing. Jesus said this in Luke and in Matthew both. The Bible says John was speaking, baptizing, and he said, he that comes after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch, as I'm baptizing you in water, he will baptize you. Now, I'd love for you to read Luke 3:16 and do it in the Message Bible, but you can read whatever. But here's the words there. It says, and he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and in fire. Now, we modern Pentecostals, we like the Holy Ghost part of it, but we're afraid of the fire part of it. Well, if you read that, find you a better translation of the Bible, and you'll find a translation that says it this way. You can look it up in a concordance. You'll find it this way. The word in or with, which are the prepositions before Holy Spirit and fire, in or with are the prepositions in the Bible. They swap them out. If you will look those up, it's en in the Greek, which means the same as. Unity of the two. In other words, when you got the Holy Ghost, baby, you got the fire. You don't get the one without the other. And I want to say something else to you. For those of you all say, well, that's for the rest of him speaking in tongues up in here. It's not for me. Let me help you on that one. The Bible says in John chapter 20, the first people got saved because Jesus breathed the Holy Ghost on them, and they received the Spirit, and ain't nobody going to heaven without the Holy Ghost. Everybody in this room that's born again has the Spirit of God in you, and if you've got the Spirit of God, you have the fire of God. All you Pentecostals want to throw a songbook, that's why we don't have any. You want them to believe that they got to be speaking in tongues. Look, I'm going to tell you, I believe in speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues more than y'all, as Paul said. I get that. The only reason we don't do tongues and interpretation publicly in this room is because of me. We'll do prophecies, but tongues and interpretations only bother me for one reason. I have to clean out the stall, not you. When I asked God, was it all right? He said, I don't really care. If there's prophecy going on, good. You can tongues and interpretate all you want to. But y'all remember who's got to judge it and who's got to clean it up. So if there are prophecies in here, we want them all the time. And the Bible says tongues and interpretation is the same thing as prophecy. So just go to prophesying. And the Bible says don't speak in tongues unless you go and interpret it. Right. Duh. Unless you know an interpreter. You don't know who's on the seat with you. So how do you know that? Best thing to do is just chill and get the prophecy side of it and give that. So we got this issue with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the being baptized with or in the Holy Spirit, with or in the fire. And if you read it, there is the translation. It might be Message or another. There's a couple others that say that he will baptize you in the Spirit fire. You're going to get baptized in the Spirit fire. Say Spirit fire. Yeah, so you can quit begging God to baptize you in fire. You got it. What you need to do is start using the fire. Now, the Bible says God is a fire. The devil never gets to use fire. When the devil tries to get fire, he can't even get two sticks to get hot. The Bible says when Elijah was out on Mount Carmel and they were trying to call down fire, your Bible says that the Baal worshipers tried to call down fire. No fire would come down. And oh, Elijah got out there and God said, let's show him a trick. Let's get out here and put some water on it. Your Bible said he put water all over it, put it all around in a ditch around it, and he backed up and he said, God, do what you do. And the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifice and licked up all the water. Can I tell you something? It's the same fire that's in you when you were born again that comes down to consume the sacrifice and lick up all the junk around you. Got too many Christians living like the world and smiling at me and saying, well, God loves me. So what? You don't fornicate. You don't lie. You don't cheat. You don't steal. Because God loves you. Your Bible says he loved you when you were doing all that. And he still loves you if you're doing it. And he doesn't love you anymore after you're born again. So don't throw the love card on the table because we ain't buying it. Let the fire of God change you. You don't have to be holiness to let the fire. You ought to just be born again. That's another problem. You get a church, you preach a little bit about getting rid of junk in your life, getting delivered from stuff, and then people want to mark you and say, come to our church because our church over here, we have a lot of liberty and y'all are in bondage. Baby, we're not in bondage. We're in freedom. The other one's still bound. I'm just saying, I'm not going to fight that battle and look like I need to give you a break. A break from what? It's a blessing to not be bound in the junk that people are bound in. Look at me. You'll live longer and not take your life if you will allow the Spirit of God to allow the fire of God to burn out of you the critical mass that's in you. So, Paul, the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 19, sent out cloths, right? He sent out cloths. Sent out cloths. And anybody who got a cloth laid on them got healed, got delivered in your Bible. Now, look at me. Paul never preached about anointed cloth. But every evangelist who wants to have a healing going to preach about it and sell them to you. Do you notice it's never in your Bible? It's not in your Bible how to do it. I'm going to tell you something else. Paul was not anointing cloth with oil and sending them out and praying over them. You need to read your Bible. He was working as a tent maker. He had that sweat rag up around his head. And he couldn't go preach and heal anybody because he had a real job. Can I stop right here and tell you something? You working at a job 8 or 10 hours a day and you're saying, I don't have time for Jesus, baby. You got more time than anybody. You're right there where people can get healed and delivered and Jesus is with you. Hey, you don't have to go find him. I get tired of that too. People saying, well, I hadn't had an hour with God. So what? Who said you had to have an hour anyway? Well, you need to have a quiet time, at least 30 minutes. Who said? Most of the people that have a 30-minute quiet time tell all of us. Every day I'll get up, every day. You know how much God respects that out of you? Because you doing it to talk about it? About this much. Because he said pride is what's going to make you fall, and pride is a sin. Y'all don't get that yet? I'm not saying don't have a quiet time. I'm just saying quit being legalistic about it, because we don't care. We don't care if you pray 10 hours a day. We're not impressed. If you do, shut up. So we got Paul, and Paul's got this rag around his head. And they're coming and saying, Paul, you've just got to come and bring the anointing oil and lay hands on them. He says, oh, come on here. Just take that over there. Puts on another sweat rag. That's how it happened. There was not these folded iron cloths, and they anointed and prayed on them and sent them out. It was a sweat cloth. It was a sweat cloth. It was every day normal. I went to my work. I did my job. I came home. But while I was there, God showed up because Nancy needed prayer, because Bill needed deliverance, and God was there. Because I went there, God was there. It's not God, it's God in us. We created a prayer cloth ministry. Everybody get a prayer shawl. We went through that phase back in the 70s. Trying to imitate something that Jesus didn't do, that Paul didn't do, and Peter didn't do. They were doing regular. Just regular with the anointing, but they were anointed. Charles Finney was going into a factory in New York, and as he was going into that factory, according to history, Charles Finney walked in, and as he began to walk by men and women that were working at the machines, and he was walking by them, the history says that as he walked by, they would fall over and begin to pray and cry, or they would just be under the power of the Spirit of God. He walked in, they all started falling down and crying, and he walked out, and they're still crying on their job. It's told of Smith Wigglesworth about the same kind of issue, that just being somewhere, just showing up on regular days, that people around him begin to sense the anointing and begin to claim healings as he sat there, as someone said, with kidney stones of his own. I think that's another lie from evangelists and pastors, that we make it like we never get sick, so you'll know our faith is strong. Smith Wigglesworth would go urinate blood and get up and preach and go urinate blood, and people get healed and the dead were raised. As far as we know, he never received healing, but everybody around him could draw off of what was in him. So, Selah. So God is trying to get through to you that you don't have to think yourself special. You're already special. You don't have to be in here to perform spiritual things. Look at me. You don't have to act like the world to get them interested in church. They already know you. When we act like them to get them comfortable in here, they don't want in here because they already doing what you do. They would like to know something might happen to them that would forever change their life and come in for the anointing of the Spirit of God. And we've been lied to by our own mind and psychologists that if we'll just act like them. Listen, you can be in the world and not of the world. You don't have to join the world in their stuff. You can still be sanctified, set apart unto God. So sanctification, according to 1 Thessalonians, I think it's 3, somewhere along in there. And the Bible says this, and this is the will of God for you. How many of y'all ever want to know the will of God? Let me help you right now. If your question is, what's the will of God about getting married? What's the will of God about the school I'm going to go to? What's the will of God about this investment? Let me tell you what God says. If you feel good about it, do it. But seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But I don't know who to marry. If you like them and you love them, marry them. It doesn't matter. Just do it. And preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick and raise the dead. Do the work of the kingdom. Listen, don't go there, but let me tell you this. If you want to go someplace and find us, you can. But if you go into, I think it is in Matthew 10, it's either Matthew or Luke 10. My head's kind of full of stuff right now, but it's Matthew 10, let's just say that, and if it's not, go to Luke 10. And it's where Jesus is sending out the disciples, and here's what he said. I want y'all to go out into the world. They said, great. And I want you to preach. They said, excellent. What should we say? Tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. Yeah, but what else? Just that. The kingdom of God is at hand. Yeah, but I want something deep. I'm giving you something right now you can't swim in. The kingdom of God is at hand. Have you ever read out in your Bible? There wasn't anybody giving a long message from Jesus. He never gave them a transcript to go preach so they could be famous. He said, just go, listen, it ain't hard. Go to your job and preach the kingdom of heaven is here. God has rent the heavens. The glory of God is here. If you're sick, you can be healed. If you're lost, you can be saved. If you're in debt, you can be brought out. If you're in depression, you can be set free. Preach kingdom. He said, say and do. Preach the kingdom. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil. Freely it was given to you, freely give. What do I preach? Kingdom of God is at hand. What do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out the devil. That's the will of God for you. Everything else is peripheral. You can get all the right people and all the right jobs, but if you don't get this over here, you ain't got the kingdom. You're just messing around with somebody. Get this. The kingdom of God is at hand. I'm walking through Target, and in my mind, I know I've got to go buy something for Christmas for my wife, so I'm going through Target. I know I've got to do that, but I've also got to understand the kingdom of God is in this room. The kingdom of God is in this room. Somebody going to be touched because the kingdom of God is in this room. I am prepared to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and to cast out the devil. The kingdom of God is in here. Oh, but I'm not a preacher. Not about preachers. It's about the will of God for you. It's about the will of God for you. Amen? So I'm just saying, we got to sometime get to that point that we understand the will of God and the presence of God and the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. I want you to stand, if you would, this morning. Stand up, please, with me. Hallelujah. The word in Mark 1:9 is that Jesus was in the water, came up out of the water, and the heavens were torn open. Now, I'm preaching revelation on that word to people that want deep. I'm preaching it to people that thought that the glory came out when the veil in the temple was rent. Baby, God came out when heaven was rent. It's God in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Hope is expectation of glory. I'm expecting manifest glory. In the Bible, fire was the physical manifestation of the Holy Ghost, of God being somewhere. Fire would be there, burning bushes, mountaintops. Fire came down. And sometimes it killed people, and sometimes it, you know, led them and guided them at night. But that's all God. God is the fire. God is the God of fire. In the New Testament, he still says, in Hebrews 12:29, he says, I am God and I am a fire. Say jealous. Because fire and jealousy are companions. How many of you know a jealous spouse? Anybody? Anybody got one? I see that hand. All right. How many of you not sure whether they are or not? I'll tell you how you know if they are. Go kiss somebody else. I wouldn't be hitting the one they kissing. I'd be hitting them for kissing them. See, seven times in your Bible, the Bible says, God speaking, I am a jealous God. Listen to the word. I am a zeal-filled, zealous God. I'm jealous. If you don't get that one, I'm zealous. If you don't understand that, I am passionate. I am passionate for you. He says seven times, I am passionate for you. I am jealous for you. So look at me. Every time you flirt, do I need to say anything else? Every time you flirt, word or deed both come from the heart. Word and deed. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I don't do what I want to do, and I don't say what I want to say. I do what I hear the Father do. I do what I see the Father do, and I say what I hear the Father say. Look at me. Spirit of God's in you. You're going to tell me how you're acting is what He's telling you to do? Is that what you're seeing? Is what you're doing what you're seeing? Is what you're saying what you're hearing? Look at me. He loves you, but I want you to get this. He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He's not going to put up with us flirting. Well, God loves me. Come on, dude. Look here. Shane, come over here. Shereen, just a minute. You love your wife, right? Okay. I just wanted to show you see somebody besides me up here. So Shane loves his wife, and he's jealous for her. He's jealous for her, passionate for her. Now, if she, I'll make it the other way. So she's passionate for him. And if he flirts with another woman, just turn away from her just a minute. Okay, because look here, he's going to flirt like that, right? He's going to turn away and he's going to flirt. Now, here's the love of God right here. She loves him. Now, see, here's what y'all think. Now, she hates him now. No, listen to me. The passion of love brings its own anger. And a spurned lover. Don't talk to me about somebody killed your mama. You get a lover messed with, you would expect this right here to rise up and show what a woman could really do with the anger of God on her. Y'all can sit down. Now, here's the point. In our society, if they flirt, we don't love them anymore. That's not what God does. God still loves you. But baby, He is passionate against what you're doing and who you're doing it with. And God is a God where His love will look and sound like anger. I'll give you something easier. Some of y'all too close to that one. I'll give you something easier. Your baby's getting close to the edge of the stairs, and you scream and run at them. And you're screaming and running at them. Screaming and running scares them more than falling off the steps do. My wife, God love her. Last night, we were in the house. She's watching the Auburn ball game, first half, so she's happy. So anyway, she's watching Auburn, Alabama play last night. She's sitting on the couch. I'm over in a chair, and I had my computer going. She's over there, and I was trying to, just study and work along. So I had her out in the game, out just trying to get into this, although I was watching some of the game. I mean, really. But here I am, working on this. And she says to me, what was it you said? Oh, yeah. She was wanting the heat turned on. So she was going to say, it's getting cold in here. She didn't say it. But now think, I'm not paying any attention to her. Here's what I hear. It's getting cold in here. Ah! Just screamed. Listen, I nearly broke my computer. My heart's racing. I'm thinking something grabbed her. She had a heart attack. I mean, it was calmly talking about, it's cold in here. Yeah. Really? I said, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? It was a ball game. She got happy. Somebody caught a pass, scored a touchdown. She's screaming about the game. I'm just in a bad place. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. Sometimes one's attitude looks like one thing that it might not be. Because people that have a lot of love can show a lot of anger toward a situation and totally love the person. You love that baby and don't want them to step off those stairs, so you run at them, screaming at them. You jump at them. You tackle them. All of that looks like, you know, you're about to get your head trauma. But the end of it is you love them so much. You just love them so much. Can I tell you something? That's how God loves you. You will live and not die. 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 So you can declare the word of the Lord to your generation. You will live and not die. You'll live and not die to declare the word of the Lord to your generation. If y'all sort anything out of this today, great. If you don't get it, it's okay. But I'm going to pray for people in this house. We'll take the offering up. It'll be okay. I'm going to ask right now if the Smiths will come here, Shane and Cherie. Yeah, Kenneth and Beverly, if you would come. Get up here if you don't mind. Sonny, if you'd come up. Tim, Sandra, come right here. Sandra, I'm sorry, come here. I want you filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what I'm wanting. I'm wanting you full of the Holy Spirit. That you, when you walk someplace, will recognize the glory of the Lord is with you. I'm not talking about just being born again. I get that. I'm talking about be filled. Listen to me. I'm not listening for tongues. If you do that, great. I'm not talking about that. If I get on that, then everybody's going to be looking and listening for tongues. Give it a rest this morning. Get full of the Spirit. If tongues is a part of that, hallelujah. If not, I'm not dealing with baptism in the Holy Ghost today. I'm dealing with being filled with the same Spirit that Christ put in the church when we were born again. I just want you full of it. I want you so full of it that you'll know when it leaves you. I want you so full of the glory of God that when you walk someplace, you're going to believe that people are going to be changed. I want you to be cognizant of the power of God that's in you. Oh, you've got power in this room. I believe shadows can heal people. Just proximity, just close by, can heal people. I believe that touches can heal people. The Bible does give us a laying on of hands is lay the hands on people. We get that. I believe that touch. But here's what else I believe. I believe this touch right here. Hey, how you doing today? Hey, what's going on? What's happening? And I'm going to tell y'all something. If you don't know this, it's a psychological truth right here. If someone speaks to you, you may not remember the color of their shirt. But if someone talks to you and touches you, hey, how you doing today? Inside you, something comes alive. And you remember things about them. Can you understand now why the Bible says laying on of hands? There's a transference toward people. It quickens something in them, and it also travels from you to them. That touch might be them touching you. They may come up to you and say, man, what's going on, Evan? What's happening? Dude, what's happening? We'll slap hands or whatever they're doing. You're going to do all of that, but here's what's going to happen. The glory is going to get on them. Why not believe that? We're not going to anoint cloths and send them out. I'm not against that. I'm just saying this. It ought to be anointed because of you being anointed, not because you tried to put something on it. Look at me. It needs to be from the daily anointing, not the Sunday anointing. Because y'all all look pretty on Sunday. But baby, you anointed on Wednesday. You're anointed on Thursday. What we're having in here, and you say, man, I've never felt anything like this. I understand, but this is with you all the time. We're just going to start recognizing it.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.